Hello, everyone. My name is Cosette, and I'm coming to you from Massachusetts.
And I'm Camille, coming to you guys from California, and you're listening to the Everything and More podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, don't forget to leave us a review, because that would be great. And if you're on Spotify, make sure to follow us, because we are back this week with a brand new episode, and we have a very special guest for you guys. Everyone, please welcome Miss Deborah Gregory. Woo!
Yes, claps, the creator, producer, writer of the Cheetah Girls.
Yes, and we are so excited to have you. Cheetalicious, yes, I'm so excited to have you on, and we're just going to pick your brain with a whole bunch of questions. So we're just going to jump right into it. So, Miss Gregory, tell us about yourself and how you got into writing and into fashion.
Okay, so I didn't know, of course. You know, I don't know why I became a writer, but I suspect one thing. I grew up in the foster care system in New York, ACS it's called, and my first foster mother, who was a horror, she was illiterate completely. And she, you know, of course, we weren't told this, you know, she pretended, but my job was to write and read for her, her letters. She had lots of letters from, she came from a huge family in Virginia. Write letters, pay bills. That's the only thing I could think of why I became a writer. The fashion was a part of me since forever. You know, like at 11, I got this man to buy me a sewing machine, and I made my first leopard dress, you know, by hand before I even got the sewing machine. But then as an adult, I did a DNA test 3 years ago. Thank God for DNA. And I found the identity of my father. You know, I didn't know either of my parents, obviously, but I didn't know even the name of my father. And the genealogist ran the line of my father all the way back to the 1600s. He said, oh, this is interesting. You know, the records, your death records, birth records. He said, this is interesting. Sartoria. You know, those fine Italian tailors, and they'll have a shop and they make the suits and all that. I come from a long line of that on my father's side. Vigliotti's, and like back to the 1600s. So I was like, oh, so it's in my DNA, the whole fashion thing, the whole, that's just a part of me, but it comes from my father's line.
Kind of moving forward, like, tell us about what inspired the Cheetah Girls and how Disney even approached you.
Okay, so in the foster care, I would say, you know, one big fantasy, I would make the clothes and I would stand in the mirror, was to be a singer. And, you know, I'm not a singer, unfortunately, because really, if someone waved a wand and said, okay, you could be, it would be, I would want to be a singer. I have the clothes, I have the personality, I just don't have the voice. And as a matter of fact, Galleria, the lead character of the Cheetah Girls, that's what her mother says to her, you know? And her mother is really partly me, you know, mother's this plus size diva who has a boutique, you get the picture. But anyway, so, this thing, and also this thing about, you know, when you come from a horrible place or even poverty, whatever it is, imagine that you get together with a group of girls and your singers, and you could travel around the world and see the world, change your whole life. So that was the concept, and it comes from me. This is the childhood I would have wanted. Now, I was a writer for magazines. That's what I did for a living, day in, day out. I was a contributing writer for Essence, and I wrote for other magazines. And they would always assign me the articles on the girl groups, because I was very good at that. So it really started with being assigned to do an article on Destiny's Child. And I had to go to Houston, where they're from. And they were performing at the Astrodome, and I was there 3 days, you know, hanging out with them. The publicist was wonderful. You know, she was so nice. And, you know, Yvette. And she was with her daughter. And I remember her daughter was prancing around. And there's the idea. It starts germinating. And when I came back, so Galleria, the lead character, that's the mall in Houston. And I spent a whole day there. It was so beautiful. Papa Do's, where they have the spicy crab. That's where we went to eat, you know. Now, of course, it's Beyonce, whatever, you know. But back then they were a group, girls, they were 16. And so you have the Papa Do's, she carries the hot sauce in her purse. The two characters, Aquanette and Anjanette, are from Houston. And they come to New York because they want to get away from Karma's children. That's really Destiny's Child. So you see it all just sort of, I thought it was fun. And don't forget, I was a writer. So people at book companies are reading magazines and newspapers. They know who we are, the writers. And they called, one of them called me. And it wasn't the first call I'd ever gotten. And she said, oh, you know, we saw you on Oprah. You know, I was on as a writer from Essence. It was a show about liposuction. And, you know, it was very funny because I was like, girl, you should just, you know, throw hot dogs down the hallway. That would be more productive than getting liposuction for $3,000. Okay, hello. You know, and Oprah was like, really? You know, whatever. You know, it was just great to be on the show, you know, like that. And so the editor said, would you, you know, you're really funny. Have you ever thought about writing for children? And I said, no. She said, well, would you take a meeting with us? I said, are you serving lunch? She said, yes. I said, oh, yes, yes, let's do it. And that's how. And so then they said, if you come up with an idea, you know, treatment. So treatment is about 20 pages. So don't mind you, they're not paying me. But so I had this idea. And so then I wrote the Cheetah Girls, this whole thing. You flesh out the characters, the storylines, the whole thing. That's what a treatment is. And I said, oh, they're not going to go for this, you know. But now that I had written it out, I said, oh, maybe I could take it to someone else. But she called 3 weeks later and said, we love it. And that's how it started. So now you have books. It starts as one book. And the books became popular. We could see why. You have these multicultural characters. You know, there wasn't a lot of that in the children's book market. And then Disney called. And they knew about it. Now, what film companies, TV companies, books, 40% of everything you see on the screen came from a book. Because that's what they do. You've got already got a train moving, so they're just hopping on the train. You've got an audience. And that's, you know, that's what they do. They're predators, quite frankly, pimps. And so they come, and I was like, how do you even know about this? I said, oh, we know. And so then it was a question of, you know, we have a production deal with Whitney Houston, because remember, she did Cinderella. And we have a production deal with Brandy. Remember, Brandy starred as this. And so I said, I would like Whitney. And because I'd interviewed Whitney for Essence, I was on the set of Waiting to Exhale. I interviewed her another time, you know, so I knew her. And so she just seemed to be, and I'd interviewed Brandy actually too. I had met Brandy for Essence, as I mentioned. And so Whitney wanted to do it because she had been trying for years to get a show about a teenage girl group and it never went anywhere. And apparently this group of girls, they were real family, had opened for her on concerts. And, you know, she took it to Fox. Apparently she had partnered with Quincy Jones, but it never went anywhere. And that's what happens a lot in the business, just so you know. It'll just lay around, optioned forever, you know, and then it, you know, you get the rights back, then you try someone else. This is not unusual. That's the development hell, they call it. So she gave up, you know, because the girls got too old. And so this was something that meant something to her, you know, something she'd wanted to do. And so she became the executive producer. You know, you always have an executive producer attached to a project. Because she was the executive producer, that's what got it made. Because yet again, it languished at Disney Channel forever. And then finally, she gave them the ultimatum. She said, you promised me you are going to make this. And so we were supposed to have a TV series. And they have partners, Disney. Every film company has partners overseas because they put up money and then they get the rights for that territory. And the partner was Asian, partner, and they said, look, we can't sell a show about with some Black and Spanish girls. You know, we're not going to be able to sell that. And so that's why they backed out of the TV series, because there it's called deficit financing, which means that they're putting up money for the thing. You know, it's very expensive, the whole thing. So then they said, all right, we'll give you a movie. And because that's cheaper, $10 million. So that was the compromise. And then they didn't think anything of it. And it did very well. And then they're happy. And then it keeps going, you know. So that, I hope, is the short version story of how that happened.
That's so cool. The next question we have for you is, like, if there was, like, a reboot, do you think...
Oh, finally. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. You had this project that made so much money for them, was so successful. Where's the reboot? You know, I see all these white projects getting the reboot, and so they have the say over it getting a reboot, and they haven't done it, and I think that's ridiculous.
Because right, and
it
you would,
deserves a reboot.
And you would think because of how big the Cheetah Girls was in that sensation.
Exactly. And how could you not do a reboot? I mean, well, what's the problem here?
Right.
You have a huge market and a huge following, and it would do very well, you know, again. So, no, it hasn't happened, and it's up to the Disney Channel. And it hasn't happened, and I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you think that the original cast would want to return for a reboot?
Oh, of course. If you go on Instagram, you'll see all kinds of posts, you know. Of course, they would love that, or, you know, that would be them now or whatever. But I think even a remake, you know, just a new version of it. You know, how could you not do that? You have Wonder Woman 1,000 times, or High School Musical, right? Which came after Out of the Cheetah Girls. But did they remake the High School Musical again? Was it coming?
Yeah, they made it into like a series, a TV show.
Oh, and so, and how is that doing? Is it on?
It's doing like pretty good. It's on like Disney.
It was better the first season, so.
Yeah, see what I mean? I mean, please stop it.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So does Disney have like exclusive rights to the Cheetah Girls?
So this is how it works. When you create a project, mine were books. So then you are selling them the dramatic rights. That's the only way it works. So then they own the dramatic rights to your books. Now, if you make it for the screen, then they own the rights to that thing. You know, it doesn't come from books. You know, some come originally from, you know, were written originally for the screen. That's what a film and TV company does. You know, they're predators. So they own the rights. It's not like a song where you just license it, which is the way it really should be. But no, they own it. It's in their vault, whatever it is. Wizard of Oz, you know, whoever that is, I think it's Warner. You know, they own it. And then, of course, they have to pay you, but, you know, it's not like it's a great deal of money. But yes, so that's why I said it's up to the Disney Channel. It's in their vault, you know. So they are the ones who would have to say in their meetings, oh, yes, let's remake the whatever it is they decide. And then I get a call.
Right. And so you touched on this a little bit earlier. But so what did end up happening to that unaired Cheetah Girls pilot episode that was filmed?
No, I didn't say it was filmed.
Oh, okay. Right.
That they came back and said, we can't make a TV because we can't sell that.
So there was never...
put up the money and then you go to the next step, which is green light.
Okay. That was a fan question that we had.
Financer, your deficit financer, and in Disney Channel's case, it's Asia.
Right.
Your deficit financer puts up the money that's part of the budget, then you go to the next step, which is called green light. And that's when pre-production begins.
Right. That was a fan question I had, because I think that people were under the assumption that that episode was actually filmed. But you heard it here first, everyone. It was not. No. It was not filmed.
They were supposed to make it as a series. And because of what I just said, they then backed out and said, no, we can't make a series. And it was just languishing there. And it was Whitney who said, oh, no, you promised me you were going to make this. And so then they came back with, okay, we'll give you a movie. Because that budget is only $10 million, you know,
right.
Much less money.
Were you like involved a lot in the script writing?
I was co-producer.
Yeah.
So Disney has the final say about everything. That's the bottom line, okay? Whoever's putting up the money, they have final say. You could say whatever you want, do whatever you want, but in the end, they make the decision about everything.
Right. What about when it comes to script writing specifically? Were you involved a lot in that?
Well, in this case, you know, I am in the Writers Guild now, but in this case, you just get the script and you give notes. Yeah. So like one decision, which I wasn't happy about, but now it's okay. I didn't mind. Remember, it was two characters, Aquanet and Anjanette, and they were having trouble. You know, we go to the castings or whatever, girls. And I had known some twin girls because on the original Cheetah Girls book, I had used twins. I found them to portray, you know, you have the image, you know, so don't forget once the books were made into a movie, they changed the book cover. Of course, it had no girls on it. So I knew twins, but it was hard to find. You know, they couldn't find any singing twins, teens. To fit, and so they said, look, it would just be easier, we make it that Aquanet stayed home and it's just Anjanette. And I said, okay, fine. You know, like I said, even if I said no, they probably would have went over me because they have final say. So that was one change, you know.
Yeah, so were you like on set a lot? While
yes, I was on set.
Okay, cool.
Did you help, this is another fan question, but did you help train Toto at all for the manhole scene in that first film?
Yes. Oh, well, Toto was my dog.
Yeah.
So I made a character out of my dog, and he was well-trained anyway. Like that thing about me having him dance, that was way before. You know, he would twirl, and, you know, he was the love of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just very simple. And there was another dog, you know, so there were two dogs.
Oh, okay.
And they're trained. Yes, it's adorable. Rest in peace, Boo Boo.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And how can we support you and your career now?
Oh, so you know that I'm writing, I have a script now at a producer that's going to be another long process. It's an adult script. But I have, you know, I still make things. I have an Etsy shop. Did you know that? Cheetahrama. Where's the chat thing? Here, I'll write it for you.
I did know about that.
Yeah, so here, mention my Etsy shop. Cheetahrama.etsy.com. It's really cute. Rama, oh, this is funny. Rama is, R-A-M-A is an Indian word. It means everything of something. So you could have banana rama. Maybe you've heard this word before. So originally when I went to make a website, my name, Deborah Gregory. Someone had purchased my name, domain name. Of course, this happens a lot, I found out. You know, because it's only $10 to buy a domain name. And so then he tried to sell it to me for $7,000, I think he won. And I was like, oh, you could keep it, honey. And I came up with Cheetahrama. And that became my handle because my name had been taken by that loser. And so I love it, Cheetahrama. So that's my website, cheetahrama.com, and my Etsy shop, cheetahrama.etsy.com. And then this is hilarious. A few years ago, a woman emails me and says, oh, hi, listen, so I'm going to be Deborah Gregory now. You know, I'm a really big fan. And, you know, your domain name became available. So that means the man obviously gave up. And just released, because you know, the domain name you buy for 2 years, $10 a year, whatever. So he had given up. And she said, I was so surprised you didn't take it. So I've taken it, DeborahGregory.com. And you know, just want to say hi, and I'm gonna write, you know, books. And I was like, oh, great. You can't believe the craziness that goes on in the world of everything. And so I contact the Authors Guild, I contact my lawyer. They said, it's not illegal to take a pen name. And said, this happens a lot. And the only thing you could do is buy them out to vacate the domain name, you know? And so I said, oh, she can keep it for all I care. And so I just keep on Cheetorama, you know. Now I found out that there is a company, Snap, and for $50, you can pay them and they will alert you when a domain name that you want becomes available. So, you know, I could do that, but frankly, I don't care, you know, about that. But, you know, who knows? DeborahGregory.com. I think Cheetorama sounds more fun anyway.
Right. Very lively.
Yes.
It matches your character.
Totally.
Yes. And you really want that reboot, right? Pushing for the reboot?
Or remake. I think, okay. I don't really want it. I just think it's, how could you not? I don't get it, quite frankly. I think people should write letters to the Disney Channel, which is in Burbank. Write letters. Say, where's the remake? Where's the reboot? There's a whole big fan base, and how could you? It's Black and Latin girls, whatever. And that's what gets them moving, quite frankly. That's how they make decisions. Two, when they're not doing what they should be doing, you have to push them to do the right thing, because that is the right thing in this case. It has nothing to do with just me. I mean, these fans are contacting me all the time, or I see the posts on Instagram and everything. It's a very real thing, and it should be just like Wonder Woman or The Wizard of whatever it is that touched people. It's always being remade. So how could you not? This is, you know, lackadaisical. Write letters to the Disney Channel, people.
Write letters, everyone. Well, thank you so much for joining us and chatting with us. We appreciate it so much.
Yes.
Guys, that is going to be it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Everything and More podcast. And make sure to share this with everyone you know, with your aunt, your best friend, your sister, your cousin, all the people, so that we can get this reboot happening, because I know I would have a great time watching, and I know that I'm trying to put my little sister onto it. She's only 4 right now, but
let me tell you one thing.
She loves it.
Yes. All right, growl power forever. Ciao.
Right, bye everyone.
Ciao.
Thank you so much, and make sure to listen to this episode and share it with everyone, and make sure to check out Cheetorama at Etsy. We will link it in the description of this episode. Thank you. Bye.
Ciao.